So I believe we have to have an ear to hear in this hour like never before, because God is transitioning the body of Christ to a fresh place. Amen. It's a great stage. I've preached on some of this before, so please bear with me. And my title of my message is Hear the Cry. Hear the Cry. There's a cry in the Spirit, I believe. There's a cry with confusion, but also a place of hopelessness and despair. That the world, there's a cry in the world. There's even a cry in some of the church. But God wants to answer the cry. Who believes that? Who believes God wants to cry? So there's a transitioning happening, and God is waiting for the manifestation of sons this morning. I believe that with all my heart. It's time for the church to mature and grow up in the things of the Spirit of God. You can read in the book of Galatians, I know this is a little bit off my message, but I need to say this to start it. You need to go to the book of Galatians chapter 3, 4, and 6. And there's three elements of transitioning of growth in the body. First of all, it talks about babes in Christ in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. It talks about babes in Christ. Then it talks about children of God. Then it talks about sons of God. There's a transition between all three. And you can afford to camp around being of the childish things. In fact, in Hebrews 6, it will tell you that leave the elementary things of God, or the elementary principles of God, and let us go on to perfection, maturity. Perfection literally means maturity. There's a cry out of the Spirit for a mature people to come forth in this hour like never before, that know their God, that are waiting on their God, that are coming to a place where they're prepared to let go of the childish things and move into the Spirit. Because of the things of the, he who was led by the Spirit is called a son of God. Amen. And it's the sons of God in this hour that will carry in a fresh anointing that will see difference in this earth, that will can answer the groaning in the Spirit. Amen. Can answer the groaning in the Spirit. The child will never walk in the fullness of the power. They have some power, of course. But they will never walk in the fullness of the power that has declared for them unless they let go of the elementary principles or let go of the childish things to move on to maturity in God. Put a slide up for me, John, would you? Are you with me this morning? In John 12, I'm going to pray before I start because I'm getting ahead of myself. Father, we just ask you to anoint the word this morning. I ask you, Father, that you give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. And Lord, as a body of believers, Father, that we would want the more. Lord, that we would hunger for the more. That we would long for the more. And Father, I don't care what the price I have to pay. Lord, if you put your finger on something in my life, you've given me the grace to overcome. Therefore, Lord, I do. I don't trust facts. I trust the truth. I don't trust my wisdom. I trust the truth. I don't trust my understanding. I trust the truth. So, Father, let your truth, revelation this morning, because it's only by your truth that you set the captive free. So this morning, Father, let truth just impregnate into our spirit, man, that, Father, it will bring change to our souls in the name of Jesus. We ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. John 12, 24 says this, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." Jesus, it says in the book of Galatians that Jesus is the seed. Not unto seeds, but unto the seed, who is Christ. That's what it actually says. And he's the grain that fell to the earth and he died. And he's bringing much grain forth. Amen. So I'm going to translate that. Sun, the sun produces what? What does grain produce? Grain. Doesn't produce apples, produces grain. So the sun fell to the ground and died, so who should he produce? Sons. It's not that hard, is it? So God is looking to produce sons. Amen. God is looking to produce sons. And he first of all, he births babes. Then he deals with issues. He deals with trust issues mainly. So he develops faith. And from faith of hope first, then then he develops faith. Faith not in yourself, but faith in trusting in him. And that's a huge step for a lot of Christians. It's in fact one of the greatest steps that a Christian can overcome is trust. Because sometimes they've got nothing to align themselves to trust someone with. Because some things in the life of all, their trust has been broken. Amen. You can't demand trust. You can't expect trust. You've got to earn trust. I want to tell you now, your God has earned your trust. Because he is faithful. And he cannot lie. He's absolute. And there are some absolutes in my life that have to anchor my soul no matter what storm I'm going through. Storms will try and push me and cause my anchor to move. But if you anchor yourself on the rock, the storm might move me about, but I will never move too far from the anchor point. Amen. I might go in a few circles now and then, just like a boat, not move me. Amen. It will not cause me to undo my anchor to move me on. I have to have some absolutes in my life that are unshakable, that they're without any question. He is truth. Everything else must bow to the truth. Facts must bow to the truth. Amen. When the fact says, like for Joshua, sun be still. Remember he said that? I'm going really off the beaten track now. The sun be still. Was it still? Did the sun stand still? Well, in fact, the sun doesn't move. We move. The sun's always still. You ever thought of that? When Joshua said, sun be still. Well, in fact, it was still because it never moves. So what slowed down? The earth. The actual earth slowed down. And that's why scientists can even prove now we lost a day. We don't know how we lost the day, but we lost the day. So they can't explain scientifically how the day was slowed. But my Bible says Joshua commanded it. So the fact or the truth is above the fact. I don't care really done. I don't care if it's spinning 11,000 miles a second. I don't care what it does. I really don't care. All I know is the Bible says. Amen. You've got to get, and I have got to get some absolutes in our life that are unshakable and immovable in the kingdom of God. And the sad part about it, some of the church is actually moving from some absolutes. 50% of the church in America do not believe in the virgin. They don't believe in it. 60% of the church believe it's all right to live in sin, outside, have sex, marriage. It's okay. The truth is, it's not okay. Sorry, love. The truth is, it's not okay. The truth says, sex is rich. Not because I love, I love, I love. Love is not an excuse to have sex. In fact, sex is not love. You need to hear that. Sex is the result of love. It's not love. Amen? So, Romans 8, 20, 29 and 30 says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. For whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to an image of his son. You have been predestined by God to conform to an image. I want to burst some bubbles here this morning. I'm going to chuck it out there because sometimes you hear some stuff that's just wacky, right? God does not predestine your salvation. I'm going to hit that one on the head straight away. He predestines your conformity. Being predestined to the image of, to be conformed to an image. That's the predestination. He wants you to be conformed to an image. He wants every man, it's his desire that all should be. How many? Should be what? Peter. All should be saved. He wants everyone saved. He doesn't say, you're the frozen chosen and you're out. He doesn't do that. He doesn't say, I don't like how you look. You're not. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He predestines you to be conformed to an image of his son. Amen. There's an image, there's a pattern that God requires his church to fill. He doesn't want you to stay a babe. He doesn't want you to stay a child. He needs sons in this hour. And the reason he needs sons in this hour, that they might bring forth an anointing and a glory that the world might behold, rest in the the sky, floating on the clouds. Christ where? The hope of
glory.
The hope to the world of the glory to be seen. That's why he says, take you from a glory to a
glory.
Amen. There's the transition. A glory to a glory from a babe to a child, the glory from a child to a son. If you camp around one of them, you are out in the fullness that God has for you, and you will not conform to an image. Not an image you perceive, an image he requires of you. Amen. You've been born for such a time as this to fulfill a purpose on your life, but it will require an image of him to fulfill the purpose, because you need his anointing to break the yokes. You get it? Every born-again believer is called to be a son. Every born-again believer is called to be a son. Not every born-again believer wants to be a son. Let's get that straight. Some people are quite happy playing babe. Some people are quite happy playing child. But God doesn't want you to stay where you're at. He never let the Patton son stay where he is. He never left Jesus in a manger. And he never left Jesus playing around at 12 years old. He brought him forth as a son so he could have an anointing on his life to infect his purpose on the earth. God has a purpose for your life. Amen? John 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave what? Power. There's a power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name, the power or the privilege. And it is a privilege to be a son. Romans 1, 3 and 4 says, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, he was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. When you got born again, what happened to your life? You had a resurrection from what? Did you get born again? Did you have a resurrection experience, your spirit man? Was he made alive? That which once was dead and has now become alive. You had a resurrection experience in your spirit man. You got born again. Amen. But there has to be an according, a spirit of holiness. And it's the working out of the holiness in my life that takes me from babe, child, son. Are you with me? There is a declaration in the heavens, but by those who walk in the newness of life, by the resurrection from the dead, who accord themselves to the spirit of holiness, that we are the sons of God. We are the sons of God with power. The power of what? The power of a transformed life. You have a testimony of the power of God in your life. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their. You need the testimony of God. You need the power of the transformation of life in my, and I got to bear witness to it, that he's changed me from a glory to a glory. So when the devil tries to come against me or my house, guess what? I've overcome him. Blood of the Lamb and by the word of my testimony. Amen. Next one, son. And the whole of creation is waiting with groanings. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. In fact, turn there, will you? I'll keep reading a bit of chapter 8 if you want. Says this, the whole earth is waiting with groanings, an appeal for help, an appeal for deliverance. Do you know the world is appealing to you and I for help in the spirit? The world is actually appealing to you and I, saying, please, come forth, sons, help me. They want to see a life that is full of the resurrection power of God. They're not just waiting for a prophecy. They're not just waiting for a laying of hands. They're not waiting for a Sunday to Monday to Tuesday. They're not waiting for all that. They're waiting for a demonstration of the power of God, of transformation in your life. When you stand upon the absolutes of God, when everything else is happening, you still keep on saying, no matter what's happening, you keep on saying, you change not. You're not a different Christian Tuesday to Monday. Amen? God, for these sons carry an anointing from God to fulfill his purpose. The anointing on your life and my life is to fulfill a purpose. That's what it's for. It's not there for a demonstration to show people that God still heals. Though he does heal, he uses healing. And he uses signs and wonders to attract attention. But the biggest thing he will use is your life, because you are the greatest miracle he has made. It's my Bible says that Isaiah, you are the sign. You are the wonder. You are. I am. Isaiah 8:19. Thanks, love. Anointed from God to fulfill his purpose, who are fixed with purpose to see God's creation free from the bondage of sin. When he's talking about the creation, he's not talking about cats and dogs and cows. And he's not talking about fruit trees, apple trees, peach trees. He's not talking about the earth. Because the earth will pass and he will create a what? So he hasn't come to redeem earth. He has come to redeem his creation, humanity. Come on now. He's come to deliver. And that's been, I remember for years in my life, oh, he's come back to set the earth free. No. He's come back to set his creation free. And you are his creation. First of all, the church. And secondly, every other one that believes in him. He wants all humanity saved. Amen? I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that should be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation, there's an earnest expectation. There'll be an expectation of the creation in me. Amen? This body will die. This body will die. But when he comes back, this body will be resurrected as a new body. That's my hope. Amen. That's the creation being recreated in him. Right? The creature of the creation waits for the manifestations of God. It's waiting. The earth is waiting. Humanity is waiting for a manifestation, a revealing, a declaration, a showing of the sons of God in this hour like never before. They are crying out in despair with hopelessness. One of the greatest problems in our society today, because I think it's been amplified more than ever before, is mental health. And don't get me wrong, it is a real, real. It is not something that, they just lost it. No, it is real. It is real. And God wants to come to bring answers, to bring peace to their situation, to bring healing to their situation. And the world is a mess. It doesn't know how to deal with it anymore. How can you deal with a spiritual matter with a physical issue, with a physical solution? You can't do it. It needs a spiritual answer. And it needs the counsel of the Holy Ghost. It needs you and I to walk in the Spirit of God. So you have a word of encouragement. So you have a word of prophecy to them. So you speak hope and a future to them. So all of a sudden their minds can be restored and renewed and break traps of that thing. God is looking for sons and daughters in this hour like never before. But we've got to let some things go. 1 Corinthians 13:11 says this. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, can you see the progress here? When I became a man, maturity, I put away what? Childish things. I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, child sees in a mirror, dimly. He has an image of what could happen. But then when I become a man, I see him face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. In other words, I will walk in the revelation of the things of the Spirit. Sons who have left behind childish things, and I don't want to offend anyone, but if you come around childish things, you're wasting life. Hear me? You are wasting life. Silly things, things that usually cannot change. And I've told this before, it's one of the most profound things I've ever heard in my life. When a woman came to church one day, and she goes, "Can I talk to you, pastor?" "Yeah, of course you can talk to me." She says, "My husband's left me." I says, "You poor thing, sit down, let's have a chat. What happened?" She goes, "Well, 20 years ago, I said, I beg your pardon? She goes, 25 years ago, he walked. I says, 25. I says, get a grip. I said, get a grip. You've just wasted 25 years of your life. Get a grip. Eh? 22, was it? Sorry, love. Sorry for exaggerating, people. 22 years. I says, you've just wasted 22 years of your life. The man married, he's got children, and you're still praying for him? Get a grip. And that's what sin does. That's what silly thinking. If you do not renew your mind, it will entrap you in your past. Silly things, usually things you cannot change, things that rob me of life, things that keep me from his presence, things that keep my mind preoccupied, things that my own minds, with my own needs of my mindsets, mindsets that are not conducive to the mind of the Spirit, mindsets that are not conducive to the mind of the Spirit. I'm going to give you some examples. Unforgiveness is not conducive to the mindset of the Spirit. All right? Anger, selfish ambition. Doesn't say ambition. You can have desires and goals. But when it's selfish ambition, you've got to put it down. Which what means selfish ambition means? At your expense, I'll come over you. Instead of the work of my Father, it's these things that keep me in the childish state. A childish state is a state where the world revolves around me and my needs. And everyone has to do what I expect them to do. That is not what you've been called to do. That is a child state. And I've got to let them things go and move on. A son who has an ear to hear, you're going to read all that in Greek. A son who has an ear to hear the groan of creation, to understand that you are born for such a time as this, even when my soul is vexed, even when I think it's not fair, even when things are coming against me, even when things don't just, God still expects the Son to walk in the Spirit. Are you with me? Even when my soul is vexed or troubled, a Son elevates the Father's ways and his purpose greater than his thoughts or needs. And I've highlighted that in John 12, 27, when Jesus says, now my soul is vexed. Jesus' soul became troubled. He knew where he was going. And in the midst of his trouble, he said this, what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I came. In other words, he elevated his purpose above his troubles. He elevated his purpose above his trouble. And that's what a son does. Lord, I submit to you. I bow my knee to you. God, if I need to repent, I repent. If I need to say sorry to someone, I'll say so. Whatever it takes, Jesus, I will make sure your purpose is before everything else. I will not allow trouble to stop the purpose of God in my life. But so many Christians stop in the childish state, refuse to allow the Spirit to cause them to grow up. John 12, 27, and my soul, I've read that. Next one, son. You're here this morning because he's chosen you. And if you're born again here this morning, if you're born again here this morning from the resurrection of the dead, to reveal through you the power of a transformed life to a broken world. Jesus' sole purpose was to fulfill the purpose of his Father, and the purposes of his Father's never changed. He wants creation touched, delivered, and set free. And as sons of God, you pick up the same from the Father that the Son had and walk, that you will see his purpose fulfilled on this earth, no matter what the cost to me. Lord, just like John the Baptist said, Lord, help me to decrease that you might increase, that we will see the humanity touched by the power of God, the power of a resurrected life in your life. So when you say something, you do it. When you speak, it's an absolute. You don't allow the devil to rob you of life and fight flesh. Many Christians are caught up fighting flesh. Flesh with flesh only produces death. But spirit to spirit produces even though something might die in you, it will bring forth life. There cannot be a resurrection unless there's a death. Are you with me? I cannot walk in the power of the resurrection unless I first endure my cross. Amen? God is looking for men and women to be like sons, like never before in this hour. Who wants to bring glory to His name by walking as a son with a higher purpose? The Father's heart, a recognition to Himself. And you are the instrument God wants to use in this hour. And I believe more than ever before, this is the hour of the church to come forth as sons of God to manifest the glory of God in this hour. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Eyes are fixed. Sons who are compelled by the love of Christ to bring forth His message of hope. And it is a hopeful message. He's a God of hope, is He not? Does He not bring hope? Has He got a message of love and hope? Now Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. He has done His bit. In fact, you know, He didn't leave us empty-handed. He left us a wonderful person called the Holy Spirit that enables me. Come on now, that enables you. That same Spirit that, he's talking about resurrection again, rose Christ from the dead, resurrection power, lives in you. So please never say, I just can't overcome that. It's best to say, be honest with the Holy Spirit, I choose not to. Because until the love of the Father becomes greater than the love of my sin, I'll fulfill the sin. I must love Him above the sin to stop the sin. That's why I have to have these absolutes. The minute you begin to waver on the absolutes is the minute I become, like James says, like a ship tossed by the wind. Amen? And therefore you're subject to the wind. You're subject to the storm. Amen? Anyone ever been through a storm? Well, three of us. Anyone ever experienced a storm in life? I mean, like hell on earth. I'm going to give you some revelation as a son. Every storm should lead you to a mountain. And I can show you that. When Noah got in the ark, what does the ark represent? Who does the ark represent in the Bible? Jesus. He's the ark. All right? Who closed the door on the side of the ark? God. Where was the ark's door? On the side. Where was the wind of Christ? On the side. How many heavens is there? Three. How many levels in the ark? Three. What was the size of the window? One by one by one. One times one times one equals? One. One times one equals one. These three are? One. The ark represents Christ. Amen? The ark represents Jesus. And then God gave him the blueprint of the image to build. Is that what he did? Noah built an ark. Noah went into it. Eight. Eight people went into it. Eight means what? Come on, students. Come on, come on. Eight means new beginnings. Amen? Everything, you will never read in the Bible where the ark, he gave him a picture of the ark where there was a rudder. No rudder. And where did he land? On a mountaintop. Who put him there? Because God uses your storm to take you higher. Never, ever, ever say, oh, why am I going through this? It ain't fair. No one has to go what I go through. All things are common to man. Amen. What we should be saying, I embrace my storm. And I thank you at the end of it. I'm going to be on my mountain. Amen. And you're going to bring forth your son in me and your glory through me, that this world might see a stability life that reveals Christ. Hallelujah. Your life and your lifestyle are the greatest testimonies that God can have. Hallelujah. There's a groaning in the world, an appeal for help. And if you have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, you'll hear it. You'll have a hear. And I'm going to be quite sharp this morning. Sometimes if you refuse to listen and stay in your silly, childish things, affect your house. Because you will blame someone else. Hello, husband. Hello, wife. You will blame someone else for the state you are in. Instead of getting before God, and we sung it this morning, waiting on Him. Change me. Change me. So I can walk in the glory of the Lord. Amen. That's what Christ did. For this purpose was He manifest. Amen. There's a manifestation of the sons in this hour to bring forth His glory. It's lovely, Gracie. I love that little cry there. There's a cry in the Spirit. Please, sons and daughters of God, rise up. Leave the elementary principles and those things of His child and move on into His purpose, because you will see Him face to face. Who wants that in their life? Who wants that intimacy with Him to such depth that you will see Him from a face to face, a glory to a glory? And the closer you get, the more humble you become. The closer you get, the greater the bow. Amen. And then the world might behold the Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. Give unto me bread, and forgive us of my trespasses, as I forgive them that have trespassed against me. The minute you say that, you've just conditioned the forgiveness. As I forgive them who have trespassed against me, forgive me as I have forgiven them. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you want that more of God for you and your house, your children, you raise up your hands in an act of surrender this morning, because that's what lifting up your hands does. You're saying, I surrender. I surrender. Father, this morning, bring us forth as Your sons, that You get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Help me to be a son. First in my house, Jesus. First in my house. First in my house. First in my house. Help me to be a light to the world for You. Help me. Lord, take me from a glory to a glory. Forgive me this morning for the silly things. Help me. Help me not to camp around the childish things, but move on into You. Help me to wait upon the Lord. Teach me, Holy Spirit, to wait on You, that I might exchange my weakness for Your strength in this hour. And Father, give me a for your creation, for souls, Jesus, for souls that I know, for souls that I don't know. Father, let me have the heart of compassion like you have. Let me be moved by the compassion. I ask in the name of Jesus that you would just come now, Holy Spirit, and bring that exchange in our hearts. In Jesus' name. I believe it by faith. Because you are absolute to me. You're a God who cannot lie to me. Thank you in Jesus' name. You're bringing forth your sons because of the cry of creation. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, isn't he a good God? The answer is not in the heavens. The answer is in you. He's already done. The answer is locked up inside of you. Amen. God bless you. I would say stay for a cup of tea and coffee, but I don't know how many coffees we can do in that little room. So best in, best dressed, and please leave me one. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week, successful week, wonderful week in Jesus' name, you sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen.